This is Anthony Hutless, and this episode is brought to you by IVMV Patreon supporter like me.
Hi, and welcome to the 341st episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined right here in the studio by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Andy wearing his Santa Claus pin.
Yeah, I just found a Santa Claus pin on a table in your studio, and I'm wearing it.
Well, and you're wearing a bass shirt.
Yeah.
Shirt with so it looks like the Santa Claus is like a lure.
Santa's bass.
So yes, we are all in the same room. For we do this maybe about twice a year. We all get together into the same room.
Doesn't happen enough, that's for sure. And I get tired of the virtual rooms that we hang out in.
Yeah. So if you're new to this podcast, this used to be how we, it's not where we recorded, but it's how we recorded. We used to always be in the same room.
We're not used to having to look in each other's eyes. No. That's kind of uncomfortable.
Freaking me out.
Right. That's why I kind of keep glancing away. So we're here for the weekend at the lake. It's Saturday morning. So if you're listening to this later and something huge happens in the game on Saturday, that's why we're ignoring it and not talking about it. But I feel like the weekend at the lake is off to a good start.
Yeah, last night was good.
Corey made us eggs from his, you know, fresh from his chickens. Uh-huh. Butts. Chicken butt.
Man, so I've been over at Michael's place a couple times, like, kind of, you know, obviously that guy deserves a lot of recognition. He's done an amazing job with his backyard. And I went over there like three times to help him to do very minor things, but I've seen it kind of developing. And with this being like your guys' first time of seeing it in person, what'd you think about Michael's wiffle ball field?
It was even more glorious in person. We had seen pictures prior to arriving there this weekend, but man, just showing up, it was a beautiful thing. I mean, the foul poles, the lines painted on the walls, the scoreboard.
Those foul poles were damn straight, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
one of the things. The only thing I helped with.
Oh yeah, with a great danger to yourself too.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it is nice. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it even has dimensions painted on the walls.
Yeah, man.
Full 20-foot tall foul poles with the little mesh grates and.
Just
the signs and stuff really finished it off well too.
Yeah, the signs looked awesome. And I mean, those poles I think are very important because home runs are hit and home runs are pulled down the line.
Yep.
And those foul poles really helped because they're so high.
Yeah, there were two to left field that we needed the poles to be able to tell whether it was.
I don't think there's a single ball hit to right field.
No. I only hit one to straight away.
Yeah.
I would like to try to work on batting left-handed more. I throw left-handed and I bat righty, which is pretty messed up. Doesn't Miguel Montero throw righty and bat left?
Yeah. I think there's quite a few ball players that do with that. I think there's too many that throw left and bat right. Well, yeah, there's some. Yeah.
Although with catchers, I wonder if he forced himself to catch.
Yeah, maybe.
And throw right-handed because they don't.
Anyway, it's just.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try to write myself.
So the question was.
Left myself.
The question on the last episode was who would have more RBIs. And then we decided to include home runs or whatever.
Yeah. I think you were right about me. I had maybe a couple of RBIs, but not home runs.
It was really kind of hard to drive in runs without it being off of a home run.
Yeah.
It's kind of a station to station game.
Yep.
You don't. Only a couple doubles.
I had two hits off the wall that drove in runs. I don't know.
Did you hit any? You hit home runs though, didn't you?
No, I didn't hit any homers.
You didn't?
No.
Did you hit any like
I hit the wall. I hit high on the wall like 3 times. I didn't get to hit as much as you guys.
Yeah. But we got to play. Kurt and I got over there early with Stuart from St. Louis that came up and hung out with us. It was a lot of fun to hang out with Stuart. And we played against Michael and his podcast hosts from the Awesome 80s podcast. So that was a lot of fun.
That was cool.
But I had a blast. My back's a little sore today. I'm a little
My entire body is a little sore today. I'm not sure if that's the beer or the running or both.
Yeah. Andy's thumb is a little sore today.
One of Michael's friends hit a ball. He scalded it to left field. It reminded me of Pujols hitting the wall at Wrigley in BP.
Yeah,
and being able to feel the reverberations. And that really riled up the wasp's nest. That was
we hadn't noticed
embedded within the one of the light bulb sockets on the scoreboard, and they came pouring out of there. And one landed on my thumb and stung me.
Yeah,
and it kind of hurt. and later, Corey tried to take a picture of the wasp's nest, and he got one picture. And then they just pour out of there like liquid.
Yeah, they came after me.
And so he took one picture that was really clear, and then the second picture he took was blurry. People were scattering.
I'm surprised I didn't like throw my phone in the air.
What was scarier, the lightning or the wasp attack?
Yeah, they came out. Like, it was almost like I made like eye contact with the collective group of wasps that were pouring out. Like, they looked right at me, and they were like, that guy.
All of the wasps formed into one large wasp. They do. But just the outline of a wasp.
And if you check the status of the game on your at-bat app during that period, it would have said wasp delay.
Right. But I did take some video. We periscoped some from the wiffle ball field over there. And one of the videos, I think just one of them, I posted on our Facebook page. So if you go to ivmv.com/Facebook, Periscope doesn't have like the best. I was connected to Wi-Fi too, but it doesn't have the best resolution. So it's a little tough, but you can see the ballpark.
The home run derby one?
No, I did one from the game, okay. I think. Or maybe I did do the home run derby one. I don't remember. Maybe I did both. I don't remember, but Jason from New Mexico suggested that we put together like a video, okay, with like music behind it and stuff. So maybe I'll work on that. But anyways, so yeah, it's Saturday morning today. We've got you guys did a little fishing this morning. It's a little chilly to go swimming, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's supposed to get up to 80 today though. Eventually.
And talk about a close call, Duffy's. A bar that is like 2 doors down from Duffy's, maybe 3, was gutted in a fire a couple days ago. So that I was really worried that we weren't going to be able to go over there.
The Duffy's abides though.
That's right. So it's been a good weekend so far. It will continue to be a good weekend. Again, thanks to Stuart from coming up and hanging out with us last night. From St. Louis, and then we'll have some other listeners that are meeting up with us today at Duffy's. So it's gonna be fun. It's just nice to hang out.
Yeah, we love to see you guys.
Yeah. We'll move on to Cubs talk. We've been on non-Cubs talk. Somebody finding this podcast for the first time is gonna be like, I thought this was Cubs related. All they did was mention that Miguel Montero bats lefty.
And we'll see you next week.
Covers it.
Yeah, so the last few episodes, we started allowing ourselves to think ahead and actually talk about the playoffs. And at first, I thought that was kind of like risky for us to talk about the playoffs right now, seeing as how we were kind of like in the middle of August. But then I realized, like, how ridiculous is our fan base and are we to be worrying about curses and everything like that at every turn? And even those of us that don't believe in those types of things. I don't believe in curses with the Cubs, but I felt like it was risky to talk about the playoffs right now. But like, how stupid is that? If your team is in contention for the playoffs, you should be talking about it.
Yeah.
Are Giants fans right now pulling back from talking about the playoffs? Are Cardinals fans like pulling back from it's a little early. We better not talk about it. We might, you know, don't want to get our hopes up. Don't want to jinx ourselves.
Pretty silly. Honestly.
Yeah. So like, I think Cubs fans, man, talk about the playoffs. We're in contention. Talk about it.
Right.
Yeah. It would just be easier if the success had come in the, like the Giants, you know, they've got a couple rings in their pocket, so.
Right, right. And I think just our history has made us very guarded.
I sort of wonder of like stuff. When they win, and yes, I'm saying when they win, will it change? You know, will people come around to being a little more?
Well, I think confident? Red Sox fans probably did.
Yeah.
I don't think Red Sox fans are talking about like the curse, like the Babe Ruth curse or anything like that. So, but it's not, you know, just us and Cubs fans with playoffs on our minds. Obviously the Cubs are beginning to prepare for playoffs too.
Well, interestingly, the article in the Tribune, which talks about the playoff tickets are on sale to season ticket holders, but the article starts, Joe Maddon has been talking playoffs since spring training.
He talked playoffs when he on his first press conference.
Yeah.
He said, you know, that they were thinking playoffs this season, and it seemed ridiculous. It's like, oh, it's nice to have an optimistic guy in there.
Good luck, buddy. but yeah, the season ticket holders can buy playoff tickets, and it looks like from what it says, they have to buy the whole pack, you know, wild card through World Series. And yeah. So, and for those of you wondering what the pricing is kind of looking like, the wild card and division series go from 45 to 160, the LCS 70 to 250, and the World Series 175 to 350. Of course, that's face value. You'll never get them for that. But man, yeah.
If I'm a season ticket holder, I'm buying.
You're buying your full allotment. I wonder, though, is it must just be like if you have two season tickets, you get two. Or can you buy?
No, I think that's what. Or, you know, I think maybe it's either the number that you have, or maybe you can buy like double. I'm not sure though. It's been a long time since I'm not sure how that Cubs handled. Considering it was either. A different ownership and everything since the last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I posted this on our Facebook and Twitter. You know, listeners out there that are season ticket holders, don't forget about these three nice guys that talk about the Cubs.
You should have got an email
twice a week for you.
You should have got an email from the Cubs. If you're hearing about it from us, then
not a good sign.
pay attention.
Check your email. Yeah. So I think this is kind of takes us into a nice discussion that we kind of had yesterday. I think we decided to cut it short because we got pretty far into it over at the wiffle ball field. And I was kind of talking about, that I think it would be best for the Cubs. I'll just say my opinion, and then you guys can tear me apart. I kind of hope to see the Cubs play that first wild card game. If they get into that game, I'm okay with that being on the road. I think that might be a good thing.
And I think we both disagreed with you. I just sort of thought of this now. It looks like that if that game happens, it's on the road. It's probably Pittsburgh,
or St. Louis.
But it'd be interesting to look at how they play in Pittsburgh. But without having looked that up, you know, my immediate reaction is no. I mean, I'd rather take home field and have the home crowd, and you know.
And your rationale had to do with the crowd, didn't it?
Right. I think that, well, like we've seen at different points in the Cubs being in the playoffs, and kind of like what we mentioned here, I think Cubs fans are kind of like hesitant to talk about the playoffs. And I think that, I think if anything goes wrong early in that wild card game, people are going to, like, all of the energy, all of what gives a team home field advantage as far as the crowd goes, all of that will be gone and negatively impact. Like I think that the crowd could actually negatively impact the team. If let's say in the first inning, they go down 2-0, or it's in the fifth inning and it's, you know, nothing to nothing. And then whatever the opposing team scores 4 runs, 5 runs, whatever. Like, I mean, we've seen just in the last week, even though the Cubs got demolished by the Tigers, the Cubs never stopped fighting. Mm-hmm. And this, that's like what I really enjoy about this team is, and we've talked about this for months now, is that they never feel, it never feels like they're out of it, because with that order, it just does not let up, and they can get on a, I mean, it even happened somewhat in yesterday's game. They'll just get on a roll and it's like double after double, and
but doesn't somebody that
hits
kind
a home
of...
run, and it's, they, it's very easy for this team to put up four or five runs in an inning. But then they may not score anymore the game, but
that almost disproves your earlier rationale, because to me, just my attitude has changed this year from previous years, where like if they lose a lead in like the sixth or seventh, I'm like, God, you know, in years past, I would have been like, whatever, it's over. This year, I think if those things happen, I'm like, this team is not out of it.
I
so
agree
they
with
keep
you.
Fighting. So I've changed a little bit in that regard. And I wonder if the crowd sort of, of this year, they're a little more optimistic in this team's ability to come back.
Right, but the Rat
keep battling.
Okay, well let me put it to you this way, and we're going down a dark road here. Rationale tells you that a fan reaching out and grabbing a ball when the Cubs are winning should not impact the team. But what happened in that ballpark when that happened?
Yeah. Balloon popped.
Right. And so I don't, like, I'm afraid you get 40 some thousand Cubs fans in a building and something turns south, even just a little bit, and it's not like it's something that can be recovered from. And I just think people are going to be like, yep, there we go.
But don't you think that's
add this to the list?
That's just reality that you're going to have to accept. Like,
that's why I want them to play on the road.
No, but on the flip side of the coin, though.
Wait, the same side?
I was like mixing my metaphor, I don't know, whatever. But if things go well, though, early on, they get a couple runs. I mean, that's going to be a heck of a lot of momentum. It's going to get the crowd fired up.
Yeah.
Whereas, what if, okay, same scenario, like they're on the road and something bad happens early in the game. The other crowd is going to be so fired up and pumped up, and that could be very hard to overcome.
No, but that's where you do the it's us against the world.
No,
I'm serious.
That's what Joe says in the dugout.
This is a group of young players, and you know, as we were talking about before we started recording, this is next Saturday is the last Saturday without college football, and that's kind of like a what.
So you'd rather have the other crowd super riled up and pumped up than have maybe it be kind of quiet?
I think that there is a difference between, I don't think Wrigley Field will be kind of quiet. I think it will be like an actual barometric pressure change in that building.
I don't know. I
think you'll be able to feel the heaviness. Yeah. I think you get them on, you get these young kids on the road, and it's like, oh, we're down 3-0. Oh, let's take the air out of this crowd. I mean, we see that in all sporting events. You see the momentum change, and it's just like everything changes in a game.
I'm still confident that this team is sort of young and maybe naive. I don't think they are naive. They just don't seem to buy into all that. And then,
sure, I think it doesn't matter that much either way, but. But I mean, just
you don't think it would be
that premise, though, to think that, okay, we got to make these guys quiet is more of a motivating factor than we want to please our fans, our home fans.
I get it. But I'm just saying, like, imagine if you're a young player, these kids were not raised Cubs fans. They don't understand. They don't remember. They probably don't remember 2003. And so I just picture them like, you know, playing Chris Bryant playing third base. And somebody hits a 2 or 3 run home run in the second inning, and they're down 3-0. And he's like, oh, we can take care of this. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you can hear a pin drop in here. Oh, here's like 16 people 20 feet from me bawling their eyes out. Like, I just think it can, I think there could be, I don't know.
Yeah. I have more confidence in the Cubs fans than
Corbin. I don't. That's why the three of us need to be in that ballpark for that game, so that absolutely. We can keep everybody even keeled.
So I just think you're avoiding a negative instead of like finding a positive.
Okay, how about this? And I understand your guys' point of view, but what if I twisted it a little bit? I stand by it. But what can we agree that like maybe it wouldn't be the end of the world if that game is on the road? That I think a young team, I think the fact that they're a young team, I think they could be like, oh, see all these fans going nuts? our goal is that by the end of the ninth inning, it's very quiet in here and we're the ones celebrating. I could just see like a young team kind of enjoying. I mean, obviously they want to advance. There's enough like motivation already.
Well, and they've shown that they can fight anywhere, any venue, that they can overcome adversity in any venue.
They are. Yeah. I think their road record's pretty good. I remember.
So I think you're right. I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world that if it is a road game necessarily, but I am of the viewpoint that it actually isn't where it does work in their favor to play it at home.
I will say, okay, so I'm going to almost support your, but more statistical, that Wrigley Field, for whatever reason this year, offensively has been a lot tougher park than it usually is. And so maybe, I don't know how PNC is for power, but you know, maybe they hit more home runs on the road. Maybe the offense is a little more.
It's because this team has an us against the world mentality. They're embracing it. That's why they play great on the road. I don't know. I still think that I would like to see.
Are you going to be disappointed if that game happens at Wrigley?
Oh no, no way, not at all.
Yeah,
no, I'm no, okay. not disappointed at all. But I think that's an interesting discussion. I mean, I'm not saying our conversation was interesting, but I think the idea is. So I would like to know if you're listening, I would like to know what you think about it. So go to, you can open up our app. We have a free app. It's iOS and Android. Tap, you know, open that up and then tap on contact the show, then call the show. Leave a voicemail for us and tell us, you know, whether you would want to see the Cubs play that wild card game on the road or at home. And I think most people would be inclined to say at home because it would just be a good environment and everything like that. But you know,
and
I guess consider the points that I brought up in your discussion.
If you're a Chicago fan, you probably want to go to the game.
Right. So right. Let's say like either way, you cannot be at the game.
Oh, okay. We need to write out all the rules.
Right. So, leave a voicemail through the app, or you can call 309-517-0624. I think that's our number. Yes. 309-517-0624. I'll check on that. That's the right number. Okay, we have a voicemail to play here. Let me pull it up real quick, and here it is.
Hi guys, this is Dawn from Plainfield, and I was just listening to Wednesday's podcast, and I just wanted to say two things. First of all, that song by Katie is awesome, so I'm totally glad you guys played that, and totally enjoyed that song. And then also, I just wanted to ask you guys a question. I know you had answered Laura's question about what player the Cardinals would steal from the Cubs, but I don't remember you guys, you and Andy, answering what player you thought the Cubs might want to steal from the Cardinals. So I'm actually really curious to hear your opinions on that. I have my own opinions, and actually I feel all gross even thinking about some of those Cardinals being on my team, but hey, you never know. Some of them might look good in blue. So I'm just curious to know what you guys thought. So have a good day. Bye.
All right. So, Can you stomach any?
I think the Cardinals fans would be mad if you picked anybody but Yachty.
Well, what's funny? So on that episode, I talked about asking a Cardinals fan that I work with. I asked him what Cubs player he would want from the Cubs, from the Cubs roster. He said Rizzo. And so then I asked him this question yesterday, and I asked him who do you think Cubs fans would want? And he said. He would say Yachty if it wasn't for the age and the fact that the Cubs kind of don't need a catcher right now. But he said, you know, as far as like kind of holding a team together and being a leader on the team and stuff like that, he said Yachty. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I can tell you guys are looking at the roster right now.
Yeah, frantically Googling.
Well, do you want me to give my answer?
Because, I mean, age is a big consideration, and you might be inclined to say Matt Carpenter or somebody like that, but he's actually not that much of a spring chicken.
No, I think, I look at what the Cubs need. Of course, he found it, this Cardinals fan found it very entertaining that I was like, yeah, position player wise, I don't think we need any of your players. Like, I kind of prefer who we have. But you look at their pitching, and I think, you know, if I had to choose someone, probably like Michael Wacha or Jaime Garcia, or, you know, somebody.
That's kind of where I was.
Not Jaime Garcia. I meant Carlos Martinez.
I was kind of looking at Wacha. That's tough. It'd definitely be a pitcher.
Right. Pitcher. Yeah.
I mean, if Wainwright were healthy and a little younger.
And it was like 3 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. But that's, you look at their position players, and I don't prefer any of them over what the Cubs have.
I mean, Hayward's good, but
yeah,
we don't need a power hitting right fielder.
Yeah, I don't feel like we need Hayward.
Yeah, it'd have to be a pitcher like Randy Schoedt.
Seth Maness.
I don't know.
Steve Cishek.
I'm going to have to shower after this episode.
Well, you kind of needed to anyways.
And then I'm clearing this out of my cache of searches here.
Yeah, that is a tough...
What do you mean you kind of need to?
Well, we're camping. I'm just saying. I know I need to, so I assume you do.
No, I mean, dude, I smell awesome right now.
Oh, man. Can we get back on camping talk and talk about that shooting star we saw last night?
Whoa, yeah.
Saw the most vivid, bright, lingering shooting star I've ever seen.
Yeah, and we were not, like, altered by any substances other than a few beers, so
right.
Not like we were tripping or something. It was incredible.
Like, we had gone to an area where we could see the sky better to just kind of look at the stars, and a shooting star, and it was incredible.
I mean,
like, the tail of it stayed for how long would you say that tail stuck around? Like 10 seconds?
Yeah. A while. And I mean, it was like the More You Know star. I mean, I could almost see 5 points on the star.
it was amazing.
It would, though. I guess it didn't trail a rainbow behind it.
And it didn't have a little music.
But seriously, though, the I don't know, the streak. Well, what, yeah, there's
tail.
I'm sure there's a name for but we'll call it. We can go with streak.
It was as thick as like a vapor trail a jet might leave behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really
amazing.
It was girthy.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes something beautiful crass. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, it was cool. All right. We have an email here from Ben. He says, "Hey guys, great show. I've been listening for the last year now. Anyway, I have a question about baseball records. My friend and I were talking about throwback jerseys and how cool they are. But the more I thought about it, it seems to me that the Cubs lose a lot when wearing throwbacks. So what is the record when the Cubs wear throwbacks? Thanks, guys. Again, great show. Go Cubs."
Yeah, I looked this up, and several tweeters have tweeted about this. And the Cubs apparently are 14-8 all time. I'm sorry, it would be 14-9 now, I believe, all time, because they did lose to the Tigers.
Wearing the 45.
Yeah, wearing the 45s. So 14-9 all time, including, and then they also have a 4-1 record this season while wearing a throwback uniform. So sorry to say, whatever you're feeling there towards the throwback uniforms is a little bit off. It sounds
and maybe last year kind of messed, because they did it a lot last year because the 100th. Well,
they lost, yeah.
And so they.
Well, last year was really the first year that they did it, right? Because, I mean, the Cubs did. The only time the Cubs wore throwbacks was when they were on the road and the other team was doing it. Like, I remember they did it in Seattle, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So they didn't do it that often. And last year was the first year that they started doing it. And I love the throwbacks.
Yeah, I like them a lot.
Yep. Yeah, I do too. I actually
last year they did that decade thing, but
went and was looking at the hats. I almost bought one, but I didn't.
Yeah.
They had stirrups, stirrups in the last game,
which is so weird that the Cubs were like one of the last teams to adopt doing that, which is weird because like look at how like that's all about merchandise sales. That's all that is to be able to sell those old ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought one. I have that one that has the, I think it's the 1942 one that has the health patch on it. Oh. I bought that at Cubs convention. But I don't know. I think a lot of those throwbacks are really cool.
I really like the Tigers actually too. That giant D on the hat was cool.
See, I wasn't able to watch that game.
Yeah, the Tiger hat is a little different than their current D, but still that old English D, but it was huge.
Really? So yeah, that was two games in a row that were not televised for me. So that was kind of, I didn't get to see either of the Tigers games, which is probably a good thing. But while we're on the topic though, and we kind of hit this topic every once in a while, don't you guys feel like it's time for a reboot with the Cubs logo?
I thought you were about to say
the current
on the podcast.
I thought you were talking about like the current, the rebuild. Like, let's start over again.
Yeah, let's scrap it.
I really don't like that.
That thing? The Cubs in
right, the actual, the, yeah, the cut, the C, yeah. UBS.
The C-Ubs.
I don't like that.
Looking at it from a design standpoint, it isn't that good. I mean, it's not horrible, but I don't love it.
I think the fact that the blue circle around it and the red C are the same width, yeah, that to me, that makes it look weird.
So something more like the one on the pennant there, where like one of them is
a very thin blue line.
Yeah.
Would you support that, Kurt?
I would actually be more for not having it in circle form. Like, I would have a C that always is by itself. It'd be like multiple parts on the hat. Like, I wouldn't change that.
And right, then I like
the Cubs
hat, yeah,
would just appear as a word, because one thing I don't like the application of this logo is that the home jersey, just a big patch that's right, that circle. Well, and then everybody else has something more substantial across the chest or something, at least in that's what I'm remembering. But, you know, it's more, I don't know. I'd just be more like in favor of like a word.
Yeah.
Logo.
Like baseball. Yeah.
Well, no, the word is baseball. Cubs, but not in its own encapsulated.
But not like that circle. Script 90s one.
No, no.
I don't know. I don't really care for that logo very much.
Yeah, I don't love it either, but I've sort of just, it's so normal to me. I've never really.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we grew up with it.
Yeah.
But
I don't think it's going anywhere, though.
But I do love the throwbacks. Mm-hmm. I think throwbacks are really cool, and I'm sure that they make a lot of money by selling those throwbacks. Yep,
I almost bought one, but I didn't. A new era hat is like, you know, by the time you get it to your house, it's almost $40.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see here. David says, on Sunday's podcast, y'all, he said y'all, so I'm gonna read y'all. On Sunday's podcast, y'all talked about the Cubs' lack of success against ace pitchers. I'd like to mention that the Cubs beat Kershaw and Greinke in the same series. They've also beat Gerrit Cole once, who is most likely the pitcher the Cubs will face in the wild card game if they make it that far. On top of that, how many teams have been successful at beating Jake Arrieta? I think the Cubs have a decent shot of winning that wild card game if they can keep their lead over the Giants.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm confident in their ability to win, but at the same time, one of the ones I wanted to look up is that is the Greinke game, because of course they won the game, but they won 1-0 in the 10th, and their line against Greinke was he had 6 innings pitched, allowed 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. So they did not exactly beat Greinke.
While you have that pulled up, can you look to see how many pitches he threw?
Oh boy, I can try.
It was over 100 by that point.
Isn't that such a, like, that is one of the things that I really have loved about watching the Cubs this year, is them being so young and forcing opposing starting pitchers to throw so many pitches. I mean, we talked about that an episode or two ago about how, like, it was like 8 or 9 games in a row that the Cubs did not allow the starting pitchers to go, you know, to finish the 6th inning.
Yeah.
Man, that's one of the things that I've really started paying attention to, and get like by the 3rd inning, I'm really watching that pitch count and watching their at bats. And it seems like every time Chris Bryant gets up there, I mean, I know this isn't the case because he probably averages 4 or 4.5 pitches per game or per plate appearance somewhere in there. I'm assuming, I'm not real sure, but, you frequently see it up around like 7 or 8 pitches in that at bat. And it's just so cool to see like that pitch track thing. And there's just just so many baseballs in there.
Yeah, that has been.
I'd like to see like the difference between pitches per plate appearance from like teams from the Soriano, like Ramirez years compared to this year at the end of the year.
I mean,
I wonder if there would be that big of a difference.
Oh my gosh.
I would assume, I would assume yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's gotta be a huge, I'm looking real quick cause I'm curious. This is great podcasting right here.
Hot Googling action.
I'll say Chris Bryant is number six in the National League. And he 4.15 pitches per plate appearance. Addison Russell's number 10. So of the top 10, three of them are Cubs. Chris Bryant, Dexter Fowler, and Addison Russell.
Wow. And now you got, I mean, Schwarber probably doesn't qualify, but Schwarber sees a lot of pitches now too.
Yeah. And Anthony Rizzo would face a lot more if he wasn't getting hit. that is ending his at bats early. Okay. So what was the question?
It was just about, he's just asking about, you know, the facing the quality pitchers, or the elite pitchers. But yeah, I don't know. I think that they'll.
Do you remember what that Kershaw?
The Kershaw game was the one where Brian hit two homers and Caesar had a solo shot too. So they
did
scored
a lot of damage
exclusively off of homers, which, you know, is good.
Was that off Kershaw?
They were off Kershaw.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was, you know, much better offensive performance there. So they actually, and then I think they shut out the Dodgers in that game. But,
and I'm sorry, can you read the Greinke line again? You said six innings pitched. How many hits?
Three hits, no runs.
Right. So it's not like they got to him.
No. And
they basically pushed him out of the game.
Yep. Yeah. So, and which is, I think, a good, like you're just saying, like racking up the pitch count is a good way to get to those guys when you can't hit them. Like it was what would have been great to do that Chris Sale game where they just got dominated.
Right.
But, there are days.
He did rack up his pitch count.
Yeah.
They just kept going. He stayed in too long.
But
they could have got him out like an inning earlier. They maybe would have had a chance.
Yeah. I mean, there are just some days when certain pitchers, and that's why those pitchers are, you know, elite pitchers, that you're just not going to hit them. Like, no lineup is going to hit Chris Sale when he can get 4 feet of movement on a slider. I mean, it's just not going to happen. So you do have to take a different approach. And but that's what's so crazy about these one game playoffs is that you've got ace against ace, and you've got everything especially, is on the table,
especially with days off.
Yeah.
In between the end of the season and that game, I mean, there really is time for each team to get, if not their number one, probably their number two.
Yeah.
Ready for that game. Do you feel like, David mentions Jake Arrieta here. As Cubs fans, I think we're in love with Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
Do you think that we're still kind of like underestimating how, or like, do you think he's actually even better than we think?
I think he's an ace. For sure.
I mean, I definitely thought when he had the, you know, he's been good for a while now, but I've had the thought of like, how long can he keep this up? And now it's sort of like,
yes.
I've moved into, he really is this good.
Right.
And so I'm just sort of changing that thought.
Right.
Now.
Yeah. We're kind of going from like, wow, he had a really good year, or he's had a really good stretch, to maybe this is the real Jake Arrieta.
Yeah. I mean, and they were saying like, he's the first guy to win 15 since like Dempster in 08 or 9 or something. And like 15's a lot of wins, but you know.
Well, he's also had run support that of course he hasn't needed run support.
Yeah. No
I mean,
but it's nice to have somebody reliable at the top of the,
Man, he's just so much fun to watch. Yeah. I've only seen him pitch once in person. But it was, I actually had really good seats. We're right behind home plate, you know, like I don't think it was 100 level. I don't know. It was pretty, they were really good seats, and it was a lot of fun to watch him pitch from there. So hopefully, you know, we're going to a couple more games here in September. I'm hoping one of them is one of them. All social media night, by the way, I should mention this. The Cubs announced social media night is September 21st, I believe. They're playing the Brewers. And so you can now to do that, you have to go to Cubs.com and buy their like special event tickets or whatever. And that gets you, they haven't announced any of the details, I don't think, of like what it's going to happen, but usually there's like an event, like a social media event before the game. And then they take us up and they have like a section of the bleachers reserved for us. I had to sit up there. So I'm doing that again this year. Are you guys thinking about it? Or I know it's hard for you guys with
schedules.
Is that another
weekday game?
I think it's a Monday night.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
And then we know we're going to a game later
that week.
That week. So
yeah. Seems unlikely.
Yeah. I'm going to go to it, but I have a lot of fun. It's cool to hang out with, you know, the people on Cubs Twitter that you pay attention to and like, you know, conversing with, and it's really cool to hang out in person. So, okay. One more question here. And this comes from Ryan, from Lawrence, Kansas. And he said, I would like to hear your opinion on which Cubs, if any, they try to re-sign in the offseason. So the list of free agents, maybe we should just take them one at a time and talk about whether or not we think that the Cubs will try to sign them in the offseason. Let's first look at, I think the player there that would be the toughest decision, Dexter Fowler.
Of course, yeah, we talked about this earlier, and Corey, you mentioned the readiness of other center field options is a concern in this department and something that might lead them to trying to re-sign him on a maybe kind of a short deal, but I don't know if that's going to be possible or not. You know, it's like he'd take a two-year deal once you kind of jump on that if you're the Cubs.
Yeah, I would. And I think some of this is going to hinge on he's kind of hot right now. Does he keep it up for the rest of the year? If they make the playoffs, does he perform well there? Like, somebody turning it on for the playoffs could change their status.
Doesn't he seem like the kind of guy that could do that?
I hope so. So, yeah, I would be for signing him. I know he was kind of he didn't have a great year up until his recent resurgence. But, yeah, I'd be good with it on a sort of a three-year deal maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, you kind of questioned whether or not he would be willing to sign a 1 year deal or a 2 year deal. He just signed a 1 year deal.
Right.
I mean, it was worth $9.5 million.
I'm guessing he's going to be expecting more than that this upcoming contract.
Maybe. I mean, I think they could re-sign him if they wanted to. And I would think maybe a 2 year deal would be about right. Because, like you mentioned, I don't think Almora is ready. And I don't think he will be. I mean, maybe they could call him up in September. Maybe. I just don't think. I'm not sure that Almora. My personal opinion is I don't think Almora is quite the guarantee MLB impact player that Addison Russell was. You know, like, you knew Addison Russell was going to come in. He may struggle. You know, he's so young, but he'll find his way, and you kind of have a little bit of, confidence in that. Almora, I'm fully confident in his glove, but I'm not really in his bat, and so I'm not sure that he will be your everyday center fielder. Even, you know, I don't think he won't be next year, and I'm not even real sure about the year after that. So, I think that if you look at the Cubs, I feel pretty confident in every position except for center field. If you take out Dexter Fowler,
right?
I mean, Matt Caesar isn't ideal in center field. And so I think, unless there's another center field option, I haven't even looked at who's a free agent.
Well,
but I like Dexter Fowler, and I think he's a good fit for this team. I would like to see him back.
Isn't that where Ian Happ's been playing?
Right, but
I know that's.
Although
I don't know if he's on the same trajectory that, like, he, I mean, Schwarber. I don't think he's on a.
He
Schwarber.
Could be on a two to 3 year. Like, if you did sign somebody, like,
right,
in a short deal, and
so maybe on the end of a short Dexter Fowler contract, he might be on the cusp.
Yeah, I could see that.
I could see him being about 2 years out. I mean, college hitters work their way through a lot faster.
Yeah, so he's in low A right now. I mean, you would assume he'd be at Myrtle Beach. Maybe if things go well, he could start in Tennessee next year.
Yeah.
But
it at least ends in Tennessee next year.
Right. Well, and I think if the Cubs do sign Dexter Fowler or someone like that to maybe a 2-year deal, you're not forced to rush. Mm-hmm. Like, you can almost let Ian Happ force your hand like Schwarber did. And it's not like, oh, we need him and he's not there, he's not ready, but we need somebody. And I don't have a lot of confidence that like Almora is going to be any more. I don't know.
If only Ian Happ could have Almora's defensive skills, that would be a heck of a center fielder.
Yeah. If only Jorge Soler could have half of Almora's defensive skills.
But as far as the rest of the guys, like,
yeah, so Jason Mott. I mean, you got some relievers. Jason Mott, Tommy Hunter, James Russell, Rafael Soriano.
Okay, of that group, who do you think is coming back? Like, maybe that's a good way to do this. Or do you want to go through them one by one?
Well, no, I think that's a good way to do it. I suppose. I honestly don't mind James Russell.
Yeah, I could see him coming back. I think that's the clear-cut choice for me as far as players that are likely to be back on that list.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Mott, he is what he is. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. That's what he is.
And he's getting up there in age.
He is. Although I do think he seems to me like a guy that, and I have no idea why I'm saying this, but he seems like a guy that could be good for the clubhouse. And he does have some playoff experience. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I could see him. I mean, I kind of like his fiery persona. I kind of get a kick out of like his herky jerky stuff out there and like twitching and stuff. Like I kind of like, he's just intense. Yeah. And I kind of like, I think other Cubs relievers have some intensity, but it's a different kind of intensity. Like I think Strope's kind of intense, but in a different way.
And Rondon can be too.
Right. But they're kind of like a quiet, like until they get that out and it's fist pump, you know, city. And everything like then that's where they show their enthusiasm. But I like that Mott to me seems like the kind of guy that's like, he's kind of got the wild eye. Like, isn't he like, if you were in the batter's box, you'd be like, dude, this guy is like off his rocker, you know, like, I'm not sure. And I kind of like the Cubs having somebody that, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy him.
It's
I don't think
though you probably hated when he's a Cardinal and now you like
right,
him when he's a,
right. And it's not, and it, I don't think he's like great. I don't think he's like,
he has been really good at times, but
right. But I also think it's something that's not completely sustainable.
Yeah.
I think,
how many times have we seen him walking off the field, throwing his gum in disgust? A lot. It feels like a lot this season.
Well, you got to hurry up and empty that bucket and get ready for the rally. You can't just have one piece of gum the whole game, Andy.
Yeah, that's true.
So anything else you guys want to say about those relievers?
Rafael Soriano, no. Tommy Hunter, maybe.
I don't know.
But he just seems like something you can get elsewhere.
Right. That's what so much, like, that's the way I kind of see relievers as a whole, is that whoever you have, chances are you can find somebody else other than like your setup guy and your closer. You know, they're a little bit more valuable, but a lot of that middle relief and the loogies and everything, it's like
easy come, easy go, almost. Yeah.
And we've seen the Cubs treat the bullpen like that. There's been a lot of guys in and out, and like Soriano, I don't even think we'll ever see him pitch for the Cubs again.
No.
I think Dino and Herrera are gone too.
But isn't Herrera still, it says arbitration, right. So yeah. they'll probably,
right, so Herrera's arbitration eligible. Yeah. That was on Ryan's list here, and so he'll be back if they want him, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
He could be,
that's
pretty, I could easily see him being packaged or just sent on his way.
Yeah.
And I like him.
I think he's done well in that role this year.
But I mean, imagine if Baez makes the team out of spring training. Yeah. You have no reason.
Or if like
Herrera
or Listel is back,
right?
I mean,
right.
I don't. How long is Listel's deal?
Well,
is he?
He's still.
I mean, he's still in his original like 6-year control, right? I don't know how much he's got left.
Right. But. Let me look at it real quick right here.
Katzen.
Oh yeah, he's got a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still pretty young. If he's back, you definitely.
He has 0.124 years of MLB service.
Yeah, the poor guy's had a rough, you know, Logan Watkins, the roughest of rough seasons, getting injured on his, you know, arrives early to spring training.
Yeah.
But then Listella is like right behind him on one of the most frustrating seasons. Neil Ramirez, Listella, you got to feel bad for those guys.
Yeah, but I think anybody that I think Baez, Listella, any of those guys can unseat Herrera.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. You know, that's baseball. It's the way it goes.
Yep.
Anything else you guys wanted to add about any of those things or anything else, any other topics that you want to talk about before we wrap things up here?
I don't think so. I mean, I saw you had a little broom out there by the campsite. I thought you maybe were getting that out in case the they sweep the Brewers tomorrow. I mean, the Braves. Braves, I'm sorry.
No, that no. It's just a just sweeping out the tent.
The front porch of your tent.
Corey has a palatial estate, it was, like, as far as his tent is concerned.
Like 600 square feet.
It was given to us.
Now he has to defend his tent.
Okay, yeah, it's not like I'm going to go out and buy like a $300 or $400 tent. It was literally just like given to us. Like ours we'd had for 10 years and it had like some rips in it and stuff. And it was like, yeah, it's probably time for a new tent. And so then Tawny mentioned somebody at her work that we needed to buy a new tent. And they were like, oh, we've got one. You can have it. And it is freaking huge. No,
it actually, I said the front porch, it actually has a front porch. Right. Like a little cover.
It's a complex.
It has gutters. I don't know if you guys noticed it. I'm not joking. Oh, no. It has gutters.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
You have to dig a little cellar for it before you set it up.
It needs footings.
So... yeah, thanks for coming out, guys.
Yeah, it's been fun so far. We got some fun ahead of us.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd love to come out.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and we'll have to do it again before, you know, we came up with maybe an option, you know, an alternative for our baseball card episode to do, because we try to basically we have to come up with an excuse, Kurt, for you to be able to come from Iowa City,
right, and leave my family.
Yeah,
burgeoning family.
Yeah.
So we have something in the works. I think it'll be fun. So that does it for this episode. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors, Dave, Divil, David, Jeremy, Chad, Todd, Dallas, Charles, Stephen, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jeff, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Andrew, Craig, Rick, Luke, Artie, and our associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Tim Marr, Jason in New Mexico, and the Quad Cities own Jason Nunn. Big thanks to Artie Boucher from Denver for jumping on the Patreon campaign this week. Patreon is like Kickstarter. It helps us pay the podcasting bills, and it allows us to continue making upgrades and improving the podcast. And if you enjoy our podcast, consider going to patreon.com/IVNV and pledging. The pledging levels start at $1 a month. That's just pocket change. The perks get better as the levels go up, and you can get IVNV stickers, posters, and even an IVNV pint glass. So again, go to patreon.com/IVNV. That's patreon.com/IVNV. So we will be back on Wednesday evening for the midweek episode. And until then, go Cubs.
Blue black bug's blood. One smart man, he felt smart. Two smart men, they felt smart. Three smart men, they felt smart. Four smart men, they smelt fart.